I'm Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast, or you can shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I will tackle the end of the NHL season, talk a little NBA, whether dynasties are good for sports. We'll look at what's happened so far in the U.S. Open, check in on the Yanks, O's, and Mets, a little monthly baseball check-in. We'll talk Game of Thrones in a pop culture corner, and then we'll close things out with Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how's it going, man?
Fantastic, man. I love that we're back. I know it's been a pretty long break, but it's a perfect time of the year. Tons of sports going on, and huge tournament this weekend for me, which is the U.S. Open, not the World Cup.
Yes. But,
yeah, man, it's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm happy, especially with all that you said, all that's going on. We just wrapped up, the hockey playoffs last night, unfortunately for me. Obviously, finals are going on in the NBA as well for at least one more day. Golf, World Cup, yeah, there's just so much going on. So it's a good time of year. But we start with the hockey. We're doing this on Saturday. So last night, the finals came to an end. The Kings beat the Rangers in, 4-1. And
yep.
For me as a Rangers fan, I was texting with a friend, and he's like, "Oh, you can't be disappointed." And I wasn't disappointed; I was just more just bummed after how that ended. Because it was,
I mean, that was a gut wrenching loss, and like you said, though, did you really expect them to get to the Stanley Cup Finals this year? I don't know.
Oh yeah, not at all. For me going in, I said I just want them to beat the Flyers, and then anything after that would have been a bonus. So
yeah, so you got a lot of bonuses after that, which was pretty cool, and yeah, but to make them, win the last game and then to be competitive in this game and win and lose in double OT, that's tough for any fan.
Absolutely, because when they went up 2-1 before the third period last night, I'm like, oh man, I kind of got my hopes up a little bit. So that was, just the way the Kings have played, it's tough to say that it was just tough to think they'd be able to hold on and win 2-1.
Oh man, you need to talk about getting my hopes up, man.
Yeah.
My teams have been breaking my heart for 20 years.
Oh, I believe it. But yeah, a couple of things I'll take away from this were, one, it was just, I felt like the missed opportunities, because the Rangers were up 2 goals in game one, up 2 goals 3 times in game two, and then they had a lead, last night too, and they were able to, weren't able to hold on to any of them. That was tough, and just the fact that they lost 3 of the 4 games they lost were all in overtime. So it was just so close,
Yeah, but that was LA's MO, man. They down and they just come back fighting, man.
Exactly. There's certain teams I feel that, a deficit doesn't, hurt them as much. Like the Rangers, when they're down, a lot of times if they're down 2-0, the game's over. But the Kings they're so deep and have enough guys who can score that, they don't really worry about falling behind, because, the Rangers were one of those teams that, the first goal, if they can score the first goal, it's huge. For other teams, it doesn't matter as much.
Yep. Oh, man, yeah. I know your pain, man. Heartbreak.
Yeah, so
I'm still trying to get over the 2009-10 season when they lost the Canadiens 3-4 in that game 7 at home.
Yes, and they're up 3-1, too, right, in that series?
Oh, my God, yes, they were. And that was the year that you really thought they were going to have a chance, and of course, they lose in the first freaking round.
Yeah, that was like their big year. Did they finish, where did the top seed that year?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they were.
Okay, so yeah, that was the year, I think, they were really favored to make a run, and yeah, that was...
But I mean, you can... you're an amazing guy, so that's why I can't ever not root for the Rangers, but... looking at the Caps playoff season since 2008, it's what, 1, 2, 3, 4 times the Rangers have defeated the Caps. So
yes, but including the last 2 times, yeah, because I think during this recent run, the Caps won the first 2 times, and the Rangers have won the last 2. So they've had a lot of time with one another the last few years. It's been pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I was
that year they played Tampa Bay and just got blanked was atrocious.
Oh, that was bad too. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was tough to swallow. So yeah, and I was definitely proud. Like I think you mentioned that the only reason you were maybe hoping the Rangers win because of Lundqvist, and me too, in a sense. That's why he played his heart out last night. Yeah. I saw a picture after the game. In the locker room, he just had his head in his hands. He was just inconsolable.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fair how good he is that he hasn't had a cup yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm not sure how much changes the Rangers are going to make next year as far as personnel. Mm-hmm. I just felt like that Kings series, I think, really just kind of exposed them a little bit as far as their depth. And just, I felt like, even though all the games were pretty close, it just seemed like there were pockets where the Kings were just dominant, and the Rangers never had that dominant portion in any of the games, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they do with things. I think St. Louis is a free agent. They're probably going to buy out Brad Richards. So I just felt like, just by the end of that series, I just felt like he couldn't even skate anymore. So
yeah,
he just, and I just, because I just, it was frustrating watching him on the power play at times, because he can still pass pretty well and stuff like that. But I just feel like you need a guy who can really move as your power play quarterback.
Yeah, kind of lost a step there, huh?
Yeah, so I think they'll buy him out and then see what else they do. I mean, because I was talking to a buddy today, and he's like, oh, they should bring back Callahan. I said, maybe. I mean, he'll be a free agent, so they could always re-sign him for less than what he was asking for originally. So
yeah.
It's interesting. Offseason is interesting, especially now with hockey being a salary cap sport. You can't just go out and, you know, buy guys. You really got to be strategic about it.
Yeah, I think that's the way better way for sports to be.
I think so. I think it levels the playing field a little bit, and like I said, it makes general managers
creative, man.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. You can't just open up your checkbook like the Rangers used to do before the cap. So yeah, I'm curious to see what they do in the off season. Your team's been busy in the off season. You know, new coach, new GM. So with the hire after, you know, you've got, what is this, your star coach in the last four seasons, I think.
It's amazing how many coaches have gone to. I mean, that seems like kind of the trend for all of my teams. The Redskins, yeah. I think, have had the most, at least, quarterbacks, and they've had, I don't know, the most coaches, but they've got to be in the running for it. The only team that I had a long time head coach, he went down in a horrible, horrible way. In flames, but yeah. God rest good old Joe Pa.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I think the stuff that I've read about him, like, you know, his long tenure at Nashville.
Yeah.
Everyone says he's a super good guy, and, you know, he's like a nice mesh between being a Tortorella and then kind of like a player's coach. I think he's in the middle. People respect him. And he's kind of one of those guys that, like, you know what you're going to get every night from his team.
Yeah.
And he does a good job of getting the best out of the players. And then, you know, recently, I don't think Nashville was great this year, but I think, you know, the past 4 or 5 years they've had some teams that could contend. So
yeah, they made the playoffs the last couple of years. You know, the last 2 years they missed it, but before that they were in the playoffs the 3 years before that. So
yeah, so he's built some competitive teams recently. So we'll see. I thought the weird thing was when they hired him, they didn't have a GM yet.
Yeah.
But apparently, and that's kind of backwards usually, but apparently when they called him, they asked him, like, they gave him, like, the kind of top three GMs in mind and had the conversation with him before that, so I thought that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you hoping he kind of brings as a coach, you know, that the other last couple guys did not?
You know, I just always have seen that there's no real discipline with these players. You know, you got some of these amazing talents, and then by default, the Wards and the Chimeras and the Fairs of the group, like, they're just blue collar good hockey players and have the right mentality.
Yeah,
but it's somehow being able to work with, you know, I think Backstrom's a good, like one of the superstars that we have that has the right mentality.
I agree. Yeah,
I would just really like to see him be able to gel the team together for once and all get them on the same page of, like, this is the proper way to play hockey. All believe in each other. The talent's there.
Yeah.
There's no reason you guys shouldn't be dominating people.
Yeah, I see. I can see that kind of everyone pulling the same rope a little bit.
Yeah, and it seemed like it's never happened.
Cause I feel...
And be able to be, you know, make your system adjustable to what you have. You know, we've had, you know, we've had the player coach type dude. We've had the dude that come in and has run his system. It's his way or the highway, and it's kind of never worked. So I think we need someone that is in between.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, because I think they do need someone who can kind of really instill, you know, a team mentality. Because I think at times you see like a Ovechkin kind of freelance out there.
Yeah.
Which I think can be detrimental. I mean, it can be good at times because he's, you know, a creative player. But other times it can be detrimental to what the team's trying to do. So, it's just crazy to think a team with that much talent has had so many coaching changes over the last couple of years. So, hopefully Trotz is the guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I mean, the other thing that sucks, though, now is, like, you think about it, you know, the big three are getting older.
Green's,
at this point in my mind, kind of washed up, overrated.
Yes.
They should have got rid of him a couple years ago when he was at his height before he started getting injured all the time and everyone thought he was amazing. Me and my buddy have never really been sold on him. And Ovechkin had a good year. I mean, you got to give him credit.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, he still can play, but, you know, you don't have much longer for the Caps to utilize the talent they have before they have to, you know, clean the slate and start all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of teams, the windows closing and coaching, were you surprised the Penguins fired Bosma?
No, I think I saw it coming. I mean, that's another case. Yeah, they won a cup, but, you know, the last, I mean, this year was highly disappointing.
Yeah.
They just dominated during the season. I don't know how much you put on him and how much, I think it's him and the GM's fault to never kind of truly rectify the goalie situation. They just kind of dealt with Fleury. Which is a tough situation because he would look like an all-star sometimes, but
yes,
he always had those games where he completely fell apart. So, you know, I think other than that, it's just another perfect example of not being able to utilize the talent to its fullest ability, man.
Yeah, there's no way they should have blew that series to the Rangers, you know.
No.
Especially the way they dominated games 3 and 4, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they just seem like they just, at times, I don't know, I feel like the Penguins, like, they have good players, but they almost seem like fragile emotionally, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that was kind of their downfall. They just don't, you know, I mean, you know, obviously Crosby and Malkin are both great players, and they have good guys around them, but they just need to, I don't know if it's, you know, kind of a concern about, like, oh, how many goals we have to score because our goal, because that can get into guys' heads if your goaltender's not that good.
Yeah.
Then you're kind of always worried about, oh, we got to score this many goals, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how their team's, you know, philosophy is going forward.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, no, I thought it was, it was a good season. Hopefully, both of our teams, you know, have good off seasons and are, you know, competitive the whole way. And hope that, you know, Caps can get back to the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers, man.
Yeah, me too for you, because it's just... definitely more fun in our area when the Caps are in the postseason. I mean, at least the Wizards kind of held up for them a little, you know, kind of took over that mantle,
which is interesting.
Yeah,
But the Caps will do the same thing, man. They always bring it down to the wire. You know, they'll at some chunk in the season, you'll be like, oh, they're absolutely making the playoffs, and then they'll inevitably flop for a 10-15 game stretch, and then makes it, you know, come down to the wire. Seems like each season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do seem to kind of, you know, clinch in the last two weeks or so. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but I seem to get back to ways when they had the division clinched, you know, weeks in advance to kind of get themselves set up rather than expend all the energy just to make it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so that was good. So I'm looking forward to, it's funny, I'm looking forward to October already.
I know. It's crazy because it's, you know. We always say this, but when October comes, we're like, can't believe October
it's here already.
But it's really a super short offseason.
It is. It's very quick. So we speaking of the finals, we're also in the NBA finals, and this isn't more about the games itself. It's more about the teams that are playing. So I thought about it. So I'm like, man, the Heat are playing, and this is their fourth straight finals. They're going for a third straight championship, and then you know, and they played the Spurs last year too, and it got me thinking about, is it? I don't know about you. Is it interesting to you when the same teams are back, or do you like to see different teams each year? What's your thought about dynasties and not just basketball, but just sports overall?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when it's your team, it's nice.
Exactly. But, yeah.
You know, the only dynasty I really liked watching was Tiger Woods, and that was an individual sport.
Okay, yeah.
But as far as teams, you know, I think it's always interesting to have different teams, and it creates different stories. And, I mean, it's cool to watch greatness. We've had that debate before.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, seeing the same team, you know, the Patriots the first couple of years, like, oh, that's cool, that's a good story. But after the fourth year, it's kind of like, all right, enough already. I need to see something else. Not even about, like, so, you know, the Patriots, it was always, like, kind of a team. They had, you know, some of their superstars, and obviously yeah. Tom Brady was, you know, one of the best quarterbacks ever. But he wasn't like always out in the media showboating and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you think about kind of like the Chicago Bulls, and you had Michael Jordan, such a big name, and like that was interesting to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
He wanted them to win all the time. Yeah. So I kind of think, I guess it depends a little bit.
That's true. And yeah, you make a good point about it depends on the team. And you also made a good point about if it's your team. Because for me as a Yankee fan, when they had that 96, you know, they started out running 96, won four, you know, it was awesome for me as a Yankee fan. But I think it depends on the team, because I think other people, Yankees are generally a hated team.
Yes.
So nobody exactly. wants, yeah. So it kind of, I think it, for me, it kind of goes both ways too, is that I think at times, depending on the team, like for the Patriots, you're right, you get sick of winning it all. But I also enjoy, it's also kind of fun to root against that. Like, it's fun to have that villain in a sense that you can root against.
Yeah, and then, you know, to your point, I think it, you know, kind of matters. Like, do you have that really polarizing view? Like, as the Patriots, you know, they kind of were a feel-good story. You didn't really hate them. You didn't really like them. Whereas the Yankees, you know, very polarizing team.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys were to do it, you know, it'd be the same feeling. And then, you know, either when the Bulls, you know, did it, it was more of like, not the team, but like you were watching greatness.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, it's almost like you were pulling for an individual in a team sense, which was, just goes to show how influential, Michael Jordan is.
Yeah. Cause like, you never really, except for maybe like, you know, Knicks fans or maybe Pistons fans, you never felt like much hatred towards the Bulls in that Jordan dynasty. When you think, you're right, you never really heard much about, at least I never.
I never too, because I think that's like that individual transcended a team sport.
Yeah.
So yeah, you were just at the point of, you just wanted to watch spectacular things happen on the court.
Yeah, because yeah, for me, I know for me, it's funny you mentioned the Cowboys too. It's funny because it's been like almost 20 years since they had their kind of dynasty, and people still like get excited when they lose. It's pretty funny how that's still kind of the way people react. You'd think that they still win Super Bowls all the time.
Yeah. And then you think about when the Cowboys were in their heyday, like what was their team filled of? They're filled with a bunch of cocky a-holes.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah. Yep.
Showboating, like people that you know, it was easy to dislike.
Yes. Yep.
Whereas, you know, like back to the Patriots, when they got super popular, they were just kind of like, you know, they weren't overly likable, or they weren't really hated either. So it was kind of like a blue-collared, hard-working team.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what their appeal was. And then I think they kind of fell out of favor with people once, I think the year when they almost, the year they went 18-0, and before, mm-hmm. before the Super Bowl, I think that's when they kind of started to fall out of favor, because people were running up the score a little bit,
Yes.
And also Spygate came out and things like that. Yep. So that's when they started to fall out of favor. But before that, yeah, there wasn't as much, you know, vitriol towards that team.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that's why I was kind of thinking about that when I saw, you know, the Heat were going to the finals for the fourth straight year. And it looks like they're, at least right now, they're not going to win. Because a couple of thoughts I have about the finals is, one, A, the Spurs are just they totally outclassed the Heat those last two games. It's just weird to see a team get blown out at home at this stage of the playoffs. And the other
thing, it's fantastic for me though.
Yeah.
I don't really like LeBron James, but whatever.
Yeah, so I don't think you're alone there. But the one thing I was kind of chuckling at is a lot of people now are saying, "Oh, the Spurs are, you know, they're doing it right. It's a team game, blah blah blah." But it's just funny because no, you didn't hear this as much because last year the Heat beat the Spurs, you know. So it was like, where was all this last year? But
absolutely,
yeah. So, so I think the Heat, if they're gonna, and the other thing that's funny is that with the Heat is, you hear people say, oh, you know, if LeBron can't carry this team, they're not gonna win. And it's like, I thought he went to Miami, so he didn't have to worry about that anymore. Because
exactly,
yeah. So it's funny how the grass is always greener, but they got their. There are two titles, so, you know, I'm sure they'll retool somehow and try to stack their team up again. That's a great point about, I think it really depends on the team and how they go about themselves, whether a dynasty is good or bad.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. And then you mentioned Tiger as far as individual dynasty. So, yeah, we have the U.S. Open going on. What are your thoughts so far after a couple of days as we head into, day three today?
You know, I love, the more I think about it, the Masters is just such a unique tournament. I love watching the Masters, but out of the other majors, this is obvious. This is definitely my favorite. It's on Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep. I mean, it's still one of the only unique tournaments in the country where, you know, Joe Schmo from a little podunk country club can qualify to, you know, make the U.S. Open still. And it's just an amazing experience, and it creates so many cool stories of guys that, you know, have just been journeymen and never been able to make a name for themselves, like, to be able to make the cut and at one of the four majors each year. It's just, like, it's such all these crazy cool stories. There's so many of them if you, like, look at each individual that plays this tournament this weekend. Just a bunch of cool stuff happens. So, and then on top of it, for Keimer to come out and set the record for the first 2 days, that's pretty amazing too. But I think that goes back to Tiger, man. I mean, when he was so dominant for so long, I think it kind of changed the mind of all the guys that were trying to come after him. And, these young guys now is really showing that, like, they made this sport. They had a regimen, and they started working out and taking it serious, and saw how hard Tiger worked. And I think it just goes to show, you look at the leaderboard right now. I mean, there's not – Keimer's won a major before, so he's a kind of a big name.
Sure, yeah.
The rest of the guys aren't really huge names, and it's pretty much any golfer that goes out each weekend has a shot to win because they're all so good.
Yeah, that's a good point about how I think Tiger kind of changed how golfers go about their business as far as getting prepped and stuff like that. Because you're right, all these younger guys are really take fitness into account, where I don't think that really happened before Tiger came on the scene. It wasn't as big of a deal. So, that's a really, really great point.
Yeah, and there's always that ongoing debate of, like, how is golf a sport? But it's absolutely a sport. The guys that are more physically fit and the guys that... I mean, it just takes tons of practice and repetition, and it's just always so fascinating to me. Like, you know, a degree off on the angle of when you hit the ball makes a 30, 40-yard difference sometimes on the outcome, so it requires such precision, and you just got to be able to repeat a swing, and there's so many things that go into a proper golf swing, and under the pressure, I mean, some of these 20, 30-foot punts that they're sinking when they need to sink, or...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I always think about the shot where Phil Mickelson on 13 in the Masters is behind a tree and he hits it 200 yards, looped it around it, or a Bubba Watson in the middle of the woods, hooking it onto the green. I mean, I think that's the thing that, a lot of people look at golf and they're like, why would you ever watch that? And it's really one of those sports that, like, until you play it and realize how freaking hard it is to be good, can you really appreciate how amazing these guys are?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just one of it's just so much about precision.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a precision sport.
Yeah, the only thing that sort of sucks still to this day, though, is it's still, in this day and age, I mean, I think it's a, you know, kind of a rich white man's sport. It's just, it's very expensive to play.
Yeah.
And you look at all these guys that are in the top 125 in the world, most of them, you know, have had a chance to play at a country club or,
yep,
you know, play golf early on, early on in their ages because, you know, they're better off. And it just kind of sucks. I wish the sport was more accessible because it would be cool to see some more diversity in the sport.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It's just some sports. It's probably the same thing with hockey a little bit too. It's such an expensive sport.
Hockey's the same way.
So I mean, expensive.
It's difficult to be in a warm weather state. And try to, you know, be a hockey star. That's why, you know, see so many people coming from Russia and Canada, because that then gives you an opportunity to make your homemade ice rink in the back of your yard and play on from an early age, as opposed to when you're growing up in Texas, you're paying a bunch of money to rent out an ice rink.
Exactly. Yeah, and the equipment's expensive. But I think probably the most expensive thing about hockey is just the rink time. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not cheap. Do you think so? Going in, you got 2 days left. Or do you think Keimer holds on? Or do you think anyone gets a little bit closer to him?
I mean, I think as long as he doesn't blow up, I think it's a shoo-in that he wins this. I mean, you look at the top. There's only 12 guys under par.
Yep.
Out of the entire field, and he's at 10 under.
Yeah.
I think, what, 6 strokes ahead of the next best person or something? Or
yeah, he's 6 up. Yep.
At least, how many strokes is he ahead? I didn't look.
6, yeah.
Yeah, he's 6 strokes ahead of the next best person. I mean, that's what the U.S. Open prides itself on, is being the hardest tournament of the year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if he goes out and, you know, shoot. He basically has to shoot 280s the next 2 days to, you know, completely blow apart, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right there too. So when are we going to see you out there, man? When are you going to qualify?
I wish, man. That's what I'm telling you, man. If I win the lotto, that's my next goal in life. I will play golf 6 hours a day and try to qualify for the U.S. Open or make the senior PGA Tour.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah,
that's what I do with my winnings.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, you're doing something you love and, you know, training for something. I think that's a great combination there.
Yeah. It's always be interesting, too, though, because, I mean, it's easy to sit on the couch and watch a sport like that and be like, God, that would be so amazing to be there and be qualified for it. But to actually live the life these guys do, they play golf 24/7.
Yeah.
And then when you have that much pressure on your back to have to win, you know, a certain amount of tournaments a year to keep your card, like, does that change your outlook on the sport? Because now it is kind of a job.
It's a job, yeah.
And it seems like every time something that I've loved, I've turned it into a job, I end up resenting it eventually. Yeah. But I know there's probably a handful of guys that, you know, it's a job to them, but I think a majority of the guys still appreciate what's going on in their life.
Yeah. Before we move on to the baseball check, and I saw this thing online, it was like, would you rather, and one of the, would you rathers was interesting is, would you rather, do a job you love, like be a pro golfer and live off of, like, you know, government, you know, social security funds or whatever, like, you know, basically you're basically enough money to get by.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have a job where you sat in a white room from 8 to 5 every day with no computer and make $5 million a year?
Yeah. I don't think I could do the 8 to 5, $5 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think I could do it.
I know. It seems like, oh, that would be awesome. But yeah, I'm thinking about, like, could you imagine, yeah, sitting in some blank room with nothing, just, you know, for 9 hours. Yeah, it doesn't, it's like, I don't know if all the money in the world would be able to,
yeah. I mean, I make feel like eventually you'd go insane.
I think so, too. I think I'd rather be a pro athlete making, you know, just enough to get by. It's, yeah,
yep.
Because you love what you were doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, look forward to these next couple of days, see if anyone can make a run, trying to make it a competitive Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, so next we do our, we call our monthly MLB check-in. We check in our local teams, the Nats, O's, and my beloved Yankees. And I feel like, standings-wise, I feel, at least for me, that the Yankees and O's are kind of right where I thought they'd be. Just, you know, this, you know, but I think it's the Nats are kind of, I don't know. I feel like this second year. I mean, they're doing. They're you know right there. They're four games over and they're in first place. But I guess I thought they'd be standings wise. They're right where I thought they'd be. But I thought they'd be better just record wise, just with you know their talent and stuff. So
yeah, I mean that didn't they start off pretty hot?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. And I think they've had some, like Harper spent some time hurt. So I know injuries have played a part into it too. But
yeah.
But yeah, I just thought they might be a little bit of a better record, but I mean, luckily their division is, no one's running away with it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the Nats would be a lot better cause you know, they were so hyped up last year and under delivered definitely. And then the Orioles were in first there for a while and they looked like, they were playing like everyone thought the Nats should be playing, but inevitably they hit a little streak, and I think it's talking to my buddy that is, you know, a way bigger, you know, I've already made the disclaimer that I like baseball now. I live in Baltimore, but I don't know a ton about it. But he was saying he thinks the pitching is going to be the Achilles heel of the Orioles.
Yeah, it's like,
but
yeah.
you look at their lineup, man, they've got some offensive powerhouse. So
they do.
It's pretty interesting. It's always fun to watch them.
Oh yeah, they can definitely rake. So yeah, I feel like the O's are yeah right where I thought they'd be. Same with the Yankees. Just I just didn't have a ton of confidence going into this season. But I will say that I do love watching the Tanaka pitch, man. He's the real deal. It's been great.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, you know, didn't the Blue Jays make some blockbuster deals over the last couple years and everyone thought they would be great and they weren't too great last year, but it looks like they're doing what everyone thought they should do.
That's a thing to keep an eye on because I wonder if they can keep that up all year.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like you said, it's such a long season. These teams go through the ups and downs.
Yeah.
And right now they're up 3.5 games from the Yankees, so no one's running away with it by any stretch. But sometimes these teams that you don't expect to win come up and they have a good start and then they kind of falter off. So it's been good, yeah. So I just feel like the Yankees are right where I thought they'd be. Baltimore, same thing. And then I said the Nats. Like I said, I thought they'd be a little bit better, but they're in first place, so. Sometimes it's not where your record is, it's where you are in the standings.
Yeah.
Have you been to any O's games yet this year?
No, the one I got tickets to it.
That's right.
Got rained out.
That's right. Yeah, I thought that's right. Yeah. I've been to one O's game. No Nats games yet though. I don't think. Yeah. And then
I've not been a Nats game either.
Yeah. And then I went to the Yankees opening day, which was against the Orioles, ironically enough. So.
Yeah.
I want to try to get back to a few more Yankee games just because this is Jeter's last season, which is still weird to say.
That is weird.
I mean, he's been there full time since '96. So it's going to be weird next year to see someone else having that shortstop job full time.
Yeah, almost 20 years, man.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a long time.
It really is.
You know what's crazy to me? He's still like, when I think about him, I'm like, yeah, he's young.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but.
Yeah, he's going to be, he turns 40 this month, yeah, so, yeah.
That's crazy.
He came in as a kid, you know, and now he's, you know, talking retirement. It's also weird just in general to think that these guys can retire at, like, 40, you know, 40 years old. It's like, what do you do with the rest of your, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was even crazier, like, the, pretty much the wear out age of a major tennis player is, like, early 30, like, 31.
Yes.
31 is stretching. I remember Agassi was like, you know, came into his, he kind of like revamped his career as the late 20s, early 30s. Like, that's usually unheard of.
Yeah, it is. Because I guess they start playing so young. So
yep.
By the time they hit that age, they've been playing 15,
20
years.
Yeah, no one realizes, like, oh, they're like tennis. That's you know, not a brutal sport. But there's sprinting, you're sprinting back and forth for 6 hours a day and you're constantly changing direction. It's hard on your body.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I feel like I've played tennis a few, it's grueling. I mean, you're running around and
yeah,
the starts and stops, it's just, it's heck on your ankles and your joint. It's tough, man.
It destroys your joints.
Yeah, it is really tough. It's a really difficult sport. So I give tennis players, I give them all the credit. That's a lot of conditioning to be able to be good at that.
Yep.
So we will see. Yeah, we'll check back in next month, see how these teams are doing, if they're improved or decreased.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we, before we move to the pop culture corner, quick question. How much World Cup do you see yourself watching over next month?
I mean, when I'm completely bored and I got nothing to do, I think I'll tune in. But I think the only ones that I'll try to make an effort to watch are when the U.S. plays. Because I try, man, and I can't get the bug. I can't figure out why people get so excited about soccer. I mean, you compare it to a sport like hockey to me, and it just like doesn't even make sense on how people get excited for it.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I'll watch the U.S. games, and like a day like today, I'll be on my laptop, and I'll probably have it on in the background. Something like that. But I mean, I played soccer for years, so I enjoyed playing it, but watching it can be kind of tough. I think it's just the lack of scoring, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's it too.
And it's the pace,
the lack of scoring.
Because to me, it's funny. I can. I'm fine watching a 0-0 hockey game because it's so fat. It's still up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. Where soccer is just so methodical, passing the ball. I think that's part of it because, like I said, a 1-0 hockey game, I can watch that and still be entertained the whole time. But yeah, for some reason, soccer, a one zip game is just like kind of, I don't know. Yeah, it's not the same. So. So I'm not gonna be able to watch Monday night's game against Ghana, but I'll watch the other two games. And like today, I'll just have it on because it's on all day long. So I'll just have it, on. And but I won't rearrange any of my schedule to watching any of the games. I guess is the best way for me to put it.
Yeah.
But people get into it, man. I told you, my softball team, half my team is skipping the game on Monday because they want to watch the U.S. game. So I guess people enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, I'm watching the U.S. Open right now, and this just goes to show why the U.S. Open's so amazing. This dude was in a bunker, chipped over the green, putted it back up on the green, back into the bunker, then chipped it out of the bunker and almost dribbled back into the bunker. And, I mean, these guys are professional players that are supposed to be amazing. I mean, you look at a green and you're like, how hard is that to hit? But they're really aiming for, like, a 3-foot circle because that's where they need to hit it. Because if they don't hit it in the right place, it's rolling off the green, if not 50 yards in front of it.
It's unbelievable. It really is. Absolutely. Good stuff. We will move on to the pop culture corner. We are doing it on a Saturday, day before the Game of Thrones season finale. So, how have you enjoyed this back half of the season?
I've enjoyed this entire season thoroughly. I think they learned their lesson from season two. You know, you take 8-9 episodes to get to what was the Battle of Blackwater Bay. And it just was so long to build up and culminate to a cool action episode. And I think they've done an amazing job of pacing this season. It seemed like every couple episodes something big was happening, and they, and you got all the backstory throughout. So I expect not to be disappointed because the rest of the season was so good. I thought last episode, the battle of Castle Black was awesome. It was really cool to see the giant characters. I think one of my favorite scenes, my buddy and I were talking, is when the giant threw the spear. But the wall is so tall, you really can't get a sense of how big these guys are. But when the spear goes to the dude sitting on the deck, you really get a sense of like how big these giants are.
Yes.
How much force that spear hit him. It was just wild to watch.
Yeah.
I thought that whole fight was cool. And then I expect the last episode to be just as good as the season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100% about the fact that, I think they kind of scaled back on some of the less interesting stuff this season, like the stuff with, what is his name, Theon or Reek now. I thought they kind of, I thought they overdid it with that last year.
Absolutely.
A little bit stuff with Bran. I thought they scaled back on that. It was just enough to keep them in the loop, but not so much, you know, so I thought that was good. And I love last week's episode, cause I think we talked off air that I was kind of looking forward to seeing the, aftermath of the week before, but, we're going to get that in the finale, I assume. So, yeah, last week's was fantastic. It was good action. It was fun to watch. The scene with John and Ygritte was just when, you know, when she got shot, I thought it was just really just well done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. I think this has been a really good season. The week before, though, the Mountain and the Viper, did that end how you thought it was after, I thought, because, you know, the Mountain, when he was able to take him down, I'm like, oh, man, you know, I was not expecting to be as competitive of a fight, but then he just couldn't, he had to have him admit that he, you know, killed his sister. I was like, oh, come on, just kill him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's typical Game of Thrones fashion. Yeah. I'm still holding out. I mean, I feel like of all this death and destruction that he does, you know, he's got to save one character.
Yeah.
Tyrion is my character that I'm convinced that is going to make it through the long haul, but... Yeah. Of course, right at the end, he has to smash his head like a grape.
I know.
And, you know, the other big disappointment, too, is you title the episode The Mountain and the Viper, and then I looked at the timestamp on HBO Go, and there was literally like 4.5 minutes left in the episode until they approached the subject. And I was like, that was a little highly disappointing that you wait till the very, very end and you only give, like, you know, a 1/50th of the episode the actual title.
Yeah, one critic compared it to like when you have a boxing match, like all the it was like all these undercard fights until you got to the main event. Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean the actual scene did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Like I was watching it on the train and I made a reaction. I'm sure people were looking at me like, what's that dude's problem? But they realized I was watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
it was super intense. I'm still convinced that this episode tomorrow that Tyrion somehow gets free.
Yeah. I'm hoping too. I love his character too. And you're right about that episode, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, when are we... I need to actually rewatch that episode because I was so amped up for the battle. I wasn't as engaged in the rest of the episode, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like I'm not even gonna look at the titles anymore. I'm just gonna roll with it.
Yeah, because last week's episode, The Watch on the Wall, that was as advertised. The whole thing took, you know, the whole episode was based around that. So you're right, it was definitely a tease. But I'm excited for Sunday. I'll probably watch that live if I can. I've enjoyed the season very much.
Does it come on at 8 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Oh, it comes on at 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought HBO Go lets you watch it an hour after it premieres, but you can watch it at 9 too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, but yeah, I've been able to watch it at 9 o'clock every weekend.
Okay.
I thought it wouldn't, that they don't upload it till 10.
But... Yeah, because usually when you watch it on HBO, it'll say, you know, this it's immediately available. So I thought they waited until 10 o'clock as well. That's interesting. So that should be good. Are there any other shows you're currently watching over the summer or preparing to?
Absolutely. I'm super excited. My Saturday tradition is to watch Fargo. I think it's a fantastic show. I think they do a great job. I love Billy Bob Thornton in it. Who's the other guy?
I think Colin Hanks is his, and he's in it, right?
Colin Hanks, but he's in Sherlock, the British Sherlock, not Cumberbatch, but his sidekick.
Oh, really? Okay.
Martin, he's the Hopper dude.
Let me see here, I'll take a look at the cast here.
What is his name? Martin something?
Martin Freeman. Yeah.
Martin Freeman, yeah. There it is. I think he's an excellent actor, and it's just, I think it's a super interesting show. I love the way it's shot. I love the way they write the story. I've been really into that. Going through The Americans, that's kept me interested.
Yes.
And then we were talking about this earlier on, but they followed up Game of Thrones with the Silicon Valley, their new comedy show on HBO. And, you know, I watched the first two episodes, and I was like, I don't know, because the lead character, they did such a good job of making him so awkward, maybe a little bit too awkward, that it was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
And then his comedic relief, his sidekick, forget that dude's name too, but he's a stand-up comedian, and he just really wasn't that funny, so yeah. You really kind of just centered on the awkwardness of the lead character. But then about the third episode, he goes on, like, a mushroom peyote journey.
Yeah.
To, like, discover the, rename the company. And from there, it really came into its own. It got pretty funny. The last couple episodes were hilarious. And I, you know, I've always been super interested in entrepreneurship and tech startups. So it's totally my cup of tea.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that show found its footing about the same time you mentioned. The one thing that was disappointing, obviously, was Christopher Effin Welch, who played, you know, the benefactor, passed away in real life.
Yeah, I read that. That's crazy.
So I thought he was one of the best. I thought he was one of the better characters. So it was definitely sad to see.
Did you know how he died?
I want to say lung cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was definitely, you know, obviously sad just from, you know, on a personal point. And then just obviously, you know, from the show standpoint, of course, too, it was sad because I thought he was a great character. How would you like to see them handle his death? Because obviously, the end of the season, he was just away, but you know, wherever, you know, his assistant said he was. But going forward, do you think that they're better off just keeping it that way where he's just, you know, the character's still present, but, you know, he's just not around? Or recast, like, what would your preference be for something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was such a big part of the show. I feel like you need to still somehow, I mean, maybe you just use pictures of him, but he's not really ever talking, but he's like, you know, you still know he is funding up the capital of the Pied Piper. But I mean, he was an interesting character, but you know, I could have done without him. So I mean, I think if the show's strong enough now that the characters that they have, it'll be a good show.
Yeah, because I just feel like he played the role too well to put someone in a spot of recasting it. I think wouldn't it be fair to whoever they recast the character with, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wouldn't it be fair to that actor? So I'd be fine. I think they did a decent job, you know, the last couple episodes, you know, with just kind of saying, oh, Peter's, you know, off on a safari with Jay-Z, whatever they were doing. You know what I mean? I think that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd be fine if they kept going forward with that. But, I enjoyed that show, especially near the end. The one thing, I will say, though, this summer, though, off the top of my head, I can't think of any movies I've seen that I really want to see, which is rare. Usually the summer is where there's a lot of stuff kind of coming out, but nothing's...
Yeah, I mean, so I was looking at the slate. I saw the new X-Men movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, but I've never been, like, overly impressed with any. I think that out of all of the superhero movies that I've watched, I think Avengers is still my favorite.
I like that, yeah.
But, you know, it's a superhero movie, and it's just a way to make a ton of money.
Yep.
And I'm kind of over revamping a comic series for the umpteenth time.
Sure.
Although X-Men obviously wasn't a remake, but other than that, man, I'm looking, and I mean, I see Ninja Turtles, I get excited, but then I see what they did with the costumes, and that completely just disappointed me because, you know, that's a childhood favorite of mine when those movies came out.
Mine too.
You know, you can't really mess with that formula back then because I thought it was pretty much perfect.
Yeah, I agree. And also I was a little disappointed that they cast Megan Fox as April O'Neil. You know?
Yeah, of course they're going to do that too. The one preview that piqued my interest, but it's kind of bizarre. Was it was called The Purge?
Oh yeah, the sequel, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that looked just insane. I didn't even know that there was a one before it. I don't remember it, but just the trailer was out of control.
It did look, yeah.
But that's obviously, that's something that I'll watch on video. I'm not going to spend my money to go to the movie theater to watch it.
No way, yeah, that does, that's...
I've never been really into the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen any of them, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I'm with you as far as the slate. I mean, recasting Wahlberg in the Transformers movies looks kind of interesting, and the Transformers, the trailers have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be good. Probably, I'd say, out of all of them, the rest of the slate, I think that could be the one that I'd probably be the most interested in seeing in the theaters.
I was interested about that. I didn't see the third one. I saw the first two, I think. But yeah.
I saw the first one and I liked it. I did not see the third one. I don't know what the reviews were. If they were just mediocre or people liked it.
I think they kind of seemed like they kind of went downhill as they went on. It sounded like.
So I mean, I guess that's their way of, in a sense, them rebooting the series by recasting the lead character, so we'll see.
I was just surprised. Usually the summer has at least a couple of movies that I'm like, all right, yeah. But I guess technically the big blockbusters, I guess, are X-Men, Spider-Man 2, which I saw, I thought that was all right. It was fine, you know.
I'm done with that. They rebooted it, and I was like, I felt like when I watched the first Spider-Man came out, I watched the same exact movie I did before.
Yeah.
And that just... That pissed me off.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I know why they did it, because they wanted to keep the rights to the character Sony. That's why they.
Yeah.
And once Tobey Maguire, I guess, wasn't coming back, they said let's just reboot it. Where they probably were better off recasting and just doing Spider-Man 4, to be honest.
Yeah.
Rather than
exactly.
Because I think there was just not. It was like, what was it, like 12 years between Tobey Maguire, and then there wasn't enough time to reboot it. You know.
Yeah.
At least like when they did Superman Returns. It was like 20 years between Superman 4 and then this, you know.
Yep.
I think Tobey Maguire was still too fresh in everyone's minds to do a reboot of the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think, the problem.
So, I saw that. But, yeah, I don't know if I'll be going to see anything else movie-wise that makes me want to pay my $12. Maybe I still have to see X-Men First Class, I guess, before I would see the new one, I guess. So I got to... Oh, but you saw it. Did you feel like lost watching X-Men without seeing, or did you see First Class already?
I have not. I'm not really a big comic book geek, so I don't understand half the stories anyways. I just really go for the entertainment value.
Gotcha. Okay. So you could
feel like... So it was entertaining.
Okay. So,
And that's why I'm just really not into them, because I've never been a real comic. The only thing I really got into is me and my buddies would collect those Marvel Masterpiece comic cards, because we thought they just looked so gorgeous.
Yeah.
But other than that, I never really read a ton of comics or, you know the backstories to all the different superheroes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I have, like, you know, I'm obviously a big Superman and Batman guy, but other than that, I kind of just kind of pick and choose other Superman movies or superhero movies, but those are the main, you know, the main two. And I'm curious with this Batman Superman movie how that's gonna turn out. I'm intrigued by that. I know a lot of people are upset that they cast Ben Affleck as Batman, but I feel like he's been better in stuff as of late, so I'm not that disappointed. So
Yeah, I didn't. Did you hear any reviews about The Edge of Tomorrow? Because I hate Tom Cruise, but the concept looked really cool.
It did. I have not. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about how that was received. But yeah, it's funny that how sometimes you kind of weigh the options. Do I? You know, I don't like the actor, but this seems like a pretty cool movie. So it's like, do you suck it up and go see it? I haven't seen anything about the reception yet, though. So let me see here. Critical response. It's received largely positive reviews, according to LA Times. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that might be one that, once again, won't go see in the movie theater, but I'll check out on video.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. That did look like an interesting concept. I like his co-star, Emily Blunt. I think she's pretty good. So. Yeah, so
that, I think it's a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's
good. Good. Yeah, that's really good. So
that's legit.
Yeah, absolutely. So go Tom Cruise.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we will we can wrap things up with have had a beer blast in a while, so I don't know if you had some stuff saved up that you wanted to share with the listeners about.
I guess my big big thing is recently we have relaunched our beer blog.
Oh, good.
Big Orca beer blog. So if you go to BigOrcaBrewing.com, me and my brother-in-law periodically write some articles on beer. We both homebrew. And that's probably the big thing I've done since then is I brewed Belgian wit and put coriander and tangerine peels in it. And I took the advice of the local homebrew store guy, and he told me to put a whole package of tangerine peels in it. And I think that was a little too much because it gets a really bitter after. It's really nice and balanced, and it feels good when you initially drink it. And but it's got the bitter taste of like the white part of an orange rind. So yeah. That was a big epic fail, and I'm pretty disappointed because I have a ton of it, and I don't want to drink any of it. So that kind of sucks, but it was a big learning lesson, and we can move on from there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you say you live and learn. A lot of this is experimental anyway, right?
Yeah, that's the greatest part about homebrewing is you can experiment as much, and I like it because it's just like another creative outlet for me.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it's fun writing about beer again, and obviously I love beer, so I also was reminded once I made my beer how much beer bottling sucked, so
yeah,
I'm going to look into maybe getting that little mini kegging party ball system so I can just, not only do you not have to wait when you bottle your beer, you inject priming sugar into it, and then you have to wait another couple weeks for it to carbonate. Whereas if you go to keg, you're ready to drink, you know, immediately because it just injects CO2 into the beer.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's good. So so it's Big Orca Brewing?
BigOrcaBrewing.com.
There you go. Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, it's glad we're able to do this, man. It's good. Like I said, it's been too long, but like I said, you know, scheduling and stuff like that can have an effect on things. But no, it's good to get back on the horn and talk a little sports, especially with so much going on right now.
Yeah, I'm watching the U.S. Open right now. I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is a great weekend. Just throw that on, and you know, I love sports. And like I said, and you throw in things like the fringe stuff, like the World Cup, and then you got others. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
Absolutely.
So this is good. So yeah, we say, you know, you can drop us a line at thegdpodcast@gmail.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.